The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 16th of August, 2021, and you are on the clock with Aaron Green and my guest co-host, Mr. Darwin Miguel Thompson. Good morning, Mr. Thompson. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Before we get into the show, let me tell you about the Real Property Tax Forgiveness Program. Save on your real property tax. Bahamian property owners can now take advantage of waivers on their real property tax in one of two ways. One, bring your account to zero. Two, get a payment plan. This offer ends August 31st, 2021. For further information, email rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs or call 242-225-5778. That is a toll-free number, and this message is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Well, good morning. Today I want to tell you about a tale of two fools on the Bahamian Road. This morning, fighting each other to get onto West Bay Street via Cumberland. And all they had to do was put on the turn signal.
Right.
That's it. I want to say good morning to the woman that found herself lost on Shirley Street just outside of Sayers Road. I don't know how you managed to turn your car in a cycle on Shirley Street, but surely you are lost, and I hope you find your way. To the government worker, the red plate that ran the red light in front of us unnecessarily. Boss, you was already late. It didn't make no sense to do that. You was already late to work. You live in the Bahamas. We don't do that. Take a page out of Bahamas Air manual. Right? We may be late, but you're going to get there and you'll be great. No crashes. None of that thing. Just strive to arrive alive, people. And I need to say this because I saw two things over the weekend that like just struck me and it just stunned me. First of all, I saw a gentleman driving his gas truck through the road like it was a Honda, like it was a six. He was prancing like the guys on the bike used to do, you know, and they turn and he was prancing with a gas truck. I mean, it would have been impressive, but for the fact that it wasn't the Foolishness Olympics, right? Driving it like a Honda.
Wow.
Like a Paso. Like a little note. Like a matchstick car.
I just run away from gas trucks on the road, man. You have to run away from them.
You have to try to stay from them. In fact, I ain't calling no names. I will do soon, maybe, possibly. But it's three different trucks over the weekend. Gas trucks.
Mm-hmm.
With their markers, right? Clearly displayed on them. Just doing pure foolishness.
Yeah.
Like, why would you drive through a walking community at 45 miles per hour in your gas truck? It don't make any sense. Explain things that don't make any sense. And you know what people tell me? People tell me, man, Aaron, ignore these things, man. You have to figure out how to pretend like they don't exist.
That's how you end up on an obituary and don't even remember what happened.
Right? I said to them, I said, look here. You live on an island. You could drive past that thing, you know. But you can end up driving right back around to it. You can't avoid it because you live on an island. You can't get away from the things that people are doing around you. You can't pretend like it has no impact on them. And you can't pretend like what you do has no impact on anybody else around you. We too big and grown for that now. We too old for that, people. To sit down and pretend like our actions don't impact other people around us. I know a lot of people on both sides of this vaccine divide sitting there saying, she right. What you do, you get take that vaccine because you gotta make sure I'm safe. I won't do these things. And the people who take the vaccine also have to remember that their actions impact others around them. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say this right now. Can we please stop calling people who don't agree with us stupid? Could we please stop calling them ignorant because they don't believe, they don't have the same faith that we have?
Right.
These are important. Mm-hmm. In the 21st century, this is what a democracy is rooted in.
Right.
Is that people don't have to believe what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
And you still got to make space for them. Right? And if y'all don't believe me, the Anglican Church say gay people exist and you know they exist. Mm-hmm. So you, the church, are obligated to create a listening ear for them, whether you agree with them or not. You're still obligated to create a mechanism to hear them. These are all important things. Text here. Great show as usual. The Taliban took over Afghanistan. Question, how could the president cross there, could tell his people like pushing out King Uyghur link up later? Ms. Green, you can't run a country and push out. This is a crazy world we live in. The person who drove the gas truck questioned, did he have it on two wheels? If so, nothing surprised me in Nassau. No more. Nassau is not a real place. .com. Let's talk about that. That Afghanistan thing is serious, man.
Yeah, big issue. One of the worst news that we've gotten this year, aside from the fact that the country's climate is significantly declining.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have any comments on it.
Well, no,
it's crazy. It's just crazy.
It's a shock. It's a shock to see this quick transition, right?
Right.
I listened to an interview last night with an activist, mm-hmm. you know, who was really right in the moment, thinking through their next steps. What do we do now?
Exactly.
And you know, she very plainly shared that there's this great concern and fear of what will become of her for joining the sort of U.S. Mm-hmm. Fight for freedom and democracy in Afghanistan. It's rough. And hopefully in this next couple of weeks, we could bring someone on who is more familiar with the politics and the foreign policy, you know, to delve through it.
Yeah.
Because what I've seen is news coming from the West.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying, hey, I'm pro Taliban. Like, I'm pro freedom, even if they want to kidnap and rape young girls. I'm not for that. But the question is, what we are receiving in the media, Western media, is it an authentic picture?
Exactly.
Right? Is it all of the voices? Mm-hmm. Are there voices we're not hearing out there that, like a voice that may say, look here, this is not necessarily the direction we wanted to move in. We wanted a balance of these ideas, some more Western or some ideas of freedom and liberalism combined with retaining our culture. You know, it's interesting. So I want to get some more info on that. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of interesting stuff in the news today, but what I wanted to talk about today is what has happened in Haiti.
Yes.
Over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And we had another massive earthquake in Haiti, I think 7.2.
Yes.
And I've invited Mr. Luby George to join us this morning to give us some information, give us the details of where it hit, the impact, and let's talk about the relief and recovery effort, and then talk about some intersecting issues with the earthquake. Good morning, Mr. George. Are you there? Good morning, Luby. You there?
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I am good, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay, man.
Yep. We start off by sending condolences to the people of Haiti, to the people who died during the storm, and to their families, and to the Bahamians who have family members in Haiti, to Haitians living in the Bahamas who may have lost family members, but to all Haitians living in the Bahamas whose country, you know, has suffered this unbelievable natural disaster.
Yeah, Aaron, yet again, you know, it's like Haiti can't ever seem to catch a break. You're just about a month or so removed from the assassination of the president.
Yeah.
The earthquake just happened on Saturday, and now it seems tropical depression Grace.
Yeah.
Its path will, you know, take it directly through Haiti, and we're sad at this point. Haiti is a pretty big island nation compared to us and a few others. Mm-hmm. But however, the path or trajectory of the coming storm takes it directly to the southern departments of Haiti, where the earthquake happened. And so, this is a double whammy within a few days now for persons living in those southern departments of Gardas and Nieps of Haiti. And so, just like you, I'd like to express my condolences to the entire diaspora myself.
Yeah, man, absolutely. So let me ask you a question. Does the state have the capacity to evacuate people from that area in the same way that the Cuban government does?
Well, I can't answer that question outrightly. I don't live in Haiti and I don't work for the government. But so far, there have been a lot of evacuation exercises going on. The government has mobilized the boats, watercraft, and aircraft that they have at their disposal, and also the U.S. government would have immediately sent in Coast Guard with a few helicopters, and so evacuation exercises have been ongoing since Saturday.
Absolutely. One of the, a number of the videos and images I saw on the weekend showed flooded streets, and I saw a couple of conversations, I read that water was from ruptured water mains in that area.
Yeah.
So is water one of the big things on the list for relief support?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Water is everywhere you look, and, the press conferences that have been happening with the Department of Civil Protection and also the Prime Minister of Haiti, they've been talking about water being an essential item at this time. What I like right now is that the government seems to really want to take control of the response to this disaster. They've been mentioning 2010, the earthquake of 2010, and NGOs and organizations and countries, persons were just coming in and bringing in what they want, what they felt like bringing in. It was not a coordinated type of event. And so they're trying to coordinate a bit more now and are asking organizations and even countries that want to bring relief to get in contact with them And so that you can go by the checklist that the government and the Department of Civil Protection has in place.
Right. Absolutely. Does it make sense for efforts in the Bahamas for us to try and send water to Haiti?
Of course. It does make sense. It does make sense. But, you know, again, the coordination is what is going to be the major issue here.
Yeah.
The part of Haiti that was hit, it is rare that you would find Haitians in the Bahamas that are from that particular area, mm-hmm. from the south.
Okay.
We have, in the majority in the Bahamas, Haitians that migrate from the north. This is, and the place that the epicenter of the earthquake the other day, you know, if you're driving from the north or northwestern department, you're talking about maybe a day and a half, almost 2 days of just driving to get to this area. That's how far it is.
Yeah.
And so there is a major disconnect between, those persons. Haitians, yeah, but it's rare that you would find the Haitians from that particular area or department migrating to the Bahamas, and so that is going to cause the coordinations to be just a little bit harder. Now, it doesn't mean that it's impossible, because we do have the Haitian embassy here. You do have, for example, the Haitian League of Pastors, whom of course are connected with, you know, churches and other organizations in Haiti. And I'm almost certain that the U.S. Embassy may be able to give some information on how maybe we can get some things to Haiti. And, of course, our government is here. Mind you, we would have shut down our embassy in Haiti a few weeks ago,
right.
After the assassination of the president. And so I'm not sure if we have personnel down there that can assist with such coordination. But, you know, again, it's not impossible. But I do think that something should be done, or we should start, you know, if your heart leads you, then I think we should start looking into what can be done. In fact, I was just a few minutes before calling in, I was just contacted by an individual whom I think is connected to a few organizations here, and is asking, you know, has any efforts begun as yet, you know, to gather items or relief items that can be sent to Haiti.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep.
Darwin? Sure. So Luby, I just have a quick question. I hope all is well, buddy. With the recent travel ban set in place between the Bahamas and Haiti, apparently to stem the COVID-19 situation and to prevent any further spread, do you find that may hinder some of the aid and movement of persons freely between the two countries to be able to provide not only aid, but also where persons can go and actually volunteer to be themselves the aid provided to others?
Of course. I mean, we do have a travel ban, and that is here. And I'm sorry, you know, morning, bro. I didn't realize that you were on the show, but, you know, it's always a pleasure, and, you know, it always brings me joy to speak to you and to hear your voice.
Yes,
but yeah, the travel ban is for air and sea, and wow. So, you know, should there be some relief efforts that are carried out at the moment, how are you going to get these items to Haiti?
Right.
That remains to be a question now.
Right.
And again, as you said, you know, what if there's an organization, you know, that is ready and willing to send, you know, personnel
right.
that can assist? You know, how is that going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have civic organizations, you know, Bahamian and otherwise, and in the Haitian community that have volunteers, that have some capacity. Maybe they're interested in going.
Exactly.
How is that going to happen? It is impossible at this time due to the travel ban.
Absolutely. Wow. Just a sort of a coincidental question. I know that we import a lot of produce from Haiti also. Would the earthquake have impacted the areas where we are typically importing produce from?
I'm not sure we are importing produce from Haiti. Mind you, I do know that we, in 2014 or 15, we would have signed about three agreements, maritime, commerce, agriculture, with Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was those agreements were ever ratified, though, in the Haitian parliament. And those are, you know, it was a line item and something that was on the agenda for the late president, but I don't think it ever got through. And so I'm not sure if we've been doing anything with Haiti. Mind you, though, you do have, you know, the boats that would
between Haiti and
the Bahamas at Port of Ski that do bring in, you know, a few items that they would have to declare, obviously, in Inagua before traversing on up through the channels and to Nassau, Abaco, and maybe Grand Bahama. So if we were, then yes, because, again, the travel ban is for air and sea.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there a website or a site where we could find a list of regional, like Caribbean and Americas, NGOs that are doing recovery and relief work in Haiti? So given the bureaucracy, the sort of travel bans between the Bahamas and Haiti, maybe I have $50, maybe I have $5 that I can give to an organization that will then direct that money to Haiti. Is there a list of NGOs doing that type of work?
I've never come across that coordinates NGO lists right now for efforts and for work being carried out in Haiti. Obviously, individual organizations will have their platforms and their sites. So, for persons in the Bahamas, I would say, you know, give the embassy a call.
Right.
I would say give the embassy a call. That would be the first, my first instincts, you know, based
all right.
on all of the dynamics that we have going on at this moment, I would say give the embassy a call.
Right, and I'm just thinking that I know we're all we're all burdened with the weight of the pandemic, and the weight of our regular lives. But it may be easier, you know, if I just slip some money in an envelope and I can give it to somebody, and I know that it's going to go towards the cause.
Right.
Is the embassy a good place to do that?
Well,
or the embassy will direct us to the right mechanism to do that.
Right, I don't think the embassy has a mechanism in place to receive funds from the general public at this time. But to your latter point, yeah, I think they would be the best persons to contact to be directed. You do have, though, the diaspora groups in Miami that are very active. Places like New York and Boston, they are very active. And I respect the efforts of the Haitian associations that you would find in South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can look up a few of those. But they, you know, there's this group called the Haitian American, very popular Facebook page. If you go on Facebook right now and just type Haitian American, and their page should be the very first one that pops up. Very popular. They are very active. In times of emergency in the past, they've always organized themselves, and I do have a few point of contacts for that organization, and I do trust them because we've been able to see the transparency in what they're doing.
Absolutely. That's great. I've got a text here for you. It's a bit of a contentious text. Mr. Georges, do you know if the Haitian Bahamians in the Bahamas have a heart, or so you guys are millionaires? ? Why don't you do more to help your people in Haiti?
But when an individual says something like that, why don't you do more? It sounds to me as if they know already what efforts are being made to help people in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about, because they mentioned one category of persons who are part of or make up the diaspora, Bahamians of Haitian descent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those individuals like myself, we are Bahamians. We are Bahamian first. We live in the Bahamas. How much more, other than probably sending over some funds, can we do? We don't live there. You know, and so we help with the school fees, we help with the medical bills, we help with the homes, we help with starting businesses. But what others need to do is to do some more researching and to see how, you know, and understand how imperialism, you know, it has a stranglehold on the place.
Yeah.
And so you really think that Haitians want to leave Haiti?
Yeah.
I've never met a Haitian that, you know, wanted to leave Haiti. The situations there pushed them,
mm-hmm.
and the situation in a place like the Bahamas or maybe the United States, you know, economic and job opportunities, pulled them towards us. Why aren't they clamoring to go to other countries as opposed to here and the United States? It's because of opportunity.
Yeah, and proximity.
Location plays a big role. And so, you know, you have a country that is close to you and is prosperous and offers opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
But yet at home, virtually, opportunities do not exist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just let me take a moment to look at these texts. I got to say, to the texter with the last three digits, 999, your text was too large. You need to break it in two parts and send it back. I want you to send it because it looked like it could be a good one. Another text here, Luby. The text went on, sent another text to say, I believe the Haitian in America helps more than the Haitians in the Bahamas with their people in Haiti. And I wanted to say to that texter that one of the things you may find here is that a lot of people don't know that they are of Haitian descent. Right? For a number of reasons. But one is because the parents try to protect you
mm-hmm.
from the stigma that
mm-hmm.
they experienced,
mm-hmm.
right, being of Haitian descent.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to prevent that from happening to you. So they erase all of your Haitian heritage,
yep.
all of the visible
mm-hmm.
parts of it.
Yep.
They make sure you speak Bahamian Standard English and British Standard English. And they pinch the Creole out of
mm-hmm.
you. The same way, you know, my people would have tried to pinch the Bahamian dialect out of me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, Evan, you know, you're spot on. And then I would add to that, you know, let us put things in proper perspective and look at the country context. The Bahamas, we're not the United States.
Yeah.
All right? Those persons, the American of Haitian descent, from the day they were born, they were American. And so all of the opportunities for success,
mm-hmm.
everything that is, that is offered in that country is at their disposal.
Right.
Yeah.
Here in the Bahamas, the barriers and the loops and the rings of fire that one has to jump through in order to, you know, be sworn in as a Bahamian citizen in the country that you were born. You know,
right.
I have people right now that are having issues with, you know, getting a sample police record to be able to satisfy the application process at the Department of Immigration right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have an NIB card or right now, a debit card. Remember now, we just went full digital. I can't go and, you know, hey, here's my card, you use it. I have an account now on the government websites, the My Gateway stuff.
Yeah.
I have an account. I can go on that and, you know, apply for a police record, you know, with ease. But the person who is the same age with me, born here in the Bahamas, because they've not yet been called to the immigration department to be sworn in, they can't
yeah.
get a police record as easily.
Right.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? So the barriers, let us put things in proper perspective. The
mm-hmm.
Haitian community in South Florida is well established. It is vast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They've been around longer maybe than the Haitian community here in the Bahamas. They've had more opportunities for a longer period.
Mm-hmm.
Than the Haitians here in the Bahamas. And so, naturally, of course, they would be in a better position to do more.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. I got a bunch of texts here. Caller, hold the line for a minute. We're going to get right to you. First says, morning, how can Haiti get the real help? Because from 2010, nothing seems to be done. People who need the help not getting it. Another text says, IFRC.org. That's the International Federation of the Red Cross.
Yep.
They will accept donations, and you can specify where you want donations to go. That's IFRC.org. And if you don't have internet access, call the local Red Cross and get a number, right? Or call
mm-hmm.
them, and they will direct you to the proper process for making donations. Another text here, texter, you sent
That's
it
some good information.
Yeah, you sent it again. It's still the same size. You got to break it down into two parts or maybe three or four parts, texter. Another text here, Mr. George, what's up with that less than 0.? Okay, this person is asking about the low vaccination rates in, get to that in a minute. Another text, Aaron, Haiti has gotten $13 billion from 2010 after the hurricane, mostly from the U.S. They are so corrupt, they have nothing to show for it. We can't help them if they blew $13 billion.
Did you know, Aaron,
okay.
I did some, you know, I came across some information some time ago following that earthquake and when all of these, you know, numbers have been thrown around. And a lot of the monies that were pledged or committed to Haiti and the relief efforts went in a circular motion and ended up back in the economies of the countries that sent those monies.
Yeah, yeah.
All right? Because they would have, you know, been in charge of, you know, which organizations and volunteers and personnel from their countries that are going to Haiti to assist. And a lot of that went on the same people from the same countries. And so, yeah, you may not have seen the money value in terms of, you know, infrastructure or businesses popping up and otherwise. But, you know, let us not be fooled into thinking that, you know, $13 billion here, Haitian government, hold on to this $13 billion. No, it didn't happen like that.
Yeah. And I'm going to take this call, and then we're going to delve into that a bit more. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
Good morning. Sorry for taking me so long, Sparky.
That's all right. Just give a little bit more than 30 seconds.
Yes, sir.
Okay, first of all, very sorry, Louis George, very sorry. Tell you what happened to people in Afghanistan, as well as Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
I am very sorry to think people in despair. All around the world, people going through hell and high water. If you check the news, and I watch a lot of international news. It's not just Haiti. It's not Afghanistan. If you look all over the world, people protesting, people going through hell. Earthquakes here. Floods here. Hurricanes there. God is doing what God got to do, and not a man or child could stop God from doing what he want to do.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Yes,
so
sir.
The thing is, what I'm saying with Louis George, he was talking about the opportunities afforded in America. Now, let's go down to be talking the truth. Before you leave Haiti in the rickety boat, you know that the laws that apply in America don't apply in the Bahamas.
No.
When you left Haiti, you know you have broken the law of the Bahamas. Point stop. You know in the Bahamas that if you're born here, you're not automatically abandoned. You now, know that.
Now, Sparky, we don't know that. We don't know that. In fact, the law is just challenged, right? The law is just challenged to say if you have one Bahamian parent, you're Bahamian. And there's plenty, plenty challenge to the interpretation of those provisions in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. And you know something? Sparky's way of thinking is the exact same. Your both children cannot be or won't be given automatic Bahamian citizenship. Shawnee is a Bahamian. What's the issue with that, Sparky? Her children won't then be given citizenship automatically because she's married to a foreign man.
If she has the children abroad.
Right.
If she doesn't have them in the Bahamas.
If she doesn't have them here.
Yeah. And Sparky, what's illegal and what's not illegal? So we like to talk about this, what's illegal and what's not illegal. Do you know that in Haiti, Mr. Luby, you still there? Luby, you there, right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, you don't watch that. It's probably me. Probably, I think I run hot and everything went haywire. Don't watch that. But you could imagine in Haiti, shortly after the earthquake, the people in Haiti are agitating for a wage increase, and they want to increase the minimum wage. They want to double it. Now, you imagine the people will fall out. They cheer in the Bahamas if you say you want double the minimum. But they wanted to take the minimum wage from something like 31 cents, U.S. cents a day, to 62 U.S. cents a day. And the people then protest, and the American interests, economic interests, and political interests protested. A pay increase from 31 cents a day to 62 cents a day. When people talk about what is and isn't illegal and what should and shouldn't be illegal,
right?
I know plenty of things we could add to that list.
Right. And I think it's also important, Aaron, to consider the Bahamas' future when it comes to climate change and the fact that very soon, Sparky, unfortunately, we're not sure if you'll be able to see that kind of thing happen, but very soon there will be a period where Bahamians will not have a place to live because the ocean is rising. So we have to take...
Use
compassion because we expect it to be there.
Yeah, and it ain't going to be for us. We could be praying for it.
Right.
For our...
Children.
Descendants, our children.
Right.
Our grandchildren, our nieces, and our nephews. Let's roll through the bell. I see I got another caller on the line there, Arlington. Let's check out that caller, Luby. Good morning, caller, you. You there?
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
And good morning to the gentleman. I hope you had a good weekend.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
And I hope you feed the raccoons.
Man, look here. I see a video. I see a video with about 60 raccoons in one day.
To be real with you, at least the raccoons can find something to eat. Some behemoths can't even find something to eat.
Yeah.
But such is life.
Yeah, man. I feel you do it.
Such is life.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard you said something about helping and reaching out to Haiti and different things. But Ms. Green, if you ever talk to real, true Haitians, and I use that with the greatest respect, they are not down with coming here illegally.
Mm-hmm.
They are not down with their own people working here illegally.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm talking, Ms. Green, you have some very productive, and I use this word with the greatest respect, Haitians in this country.
Yeah, man.
And then you have some in here, right, who just completely down with foolishness.
Man, okay, do it. I got you.
And I will say this, ma'am. I don't think Bahamians are against Haitians, you know. The problem is that, for me, my experience of talking to people, right, you got their own against one another. Just how you have some Bahamians against one another, you have the same thing with the nationalities against one another, because
you have
they don't like when they come to the country and they go into a place and bring it down to nothing. And cause, you know what has happened, Ms. Green, I can leave this with you. A lot of Haitians who want to do good, because of the Haitians who decide to come here and do wrong, the same thing with Bahamians in their own country, it's caused it hard for Haitians who want to do good. And I speak on behalf of all of them who are here legally to continue to work and continue to be a productive citizen in this country. And Luby Georges, let me tell you something. When you want to talk about the sufferings of those nurses, those doctors who can't get paid, the hospital leaking, don't talk about Rights Bahamas. When you talk about Rights Bahamas,
it.
You never talk about Bahamians.
I didn't. Yeah. Yeah, let's...
Do it, you can't come on the show.
I don't know what's going on there.
You can't come on the show and tell my guests what to talk about.
Come on, man.
And you can't come on the show and say you can't talk about Haitian, Bahamian, or migrant rights if the Bahamian issues are not solved yet. You can't do that.
Mm-mm.
And let me tell you why. Because at the end of the day, you are all putting the blame in the wrong place. You are falling prey to the trap. Active. It works because you keep getting distracted by the scam. It is not the Haitians' fault that your hospital is not functioning. It is not the illegal migrant, like y'all like to call them, when really the word is undocumented.
Human beings cannot be illegal,
right?
My people.
Your hospital is falling apart because the people who are responsible for it do not care about you. That's why it's falling apart. That's why we could sit back and hear anecdotal stories about people working for the PHA. Now let me say this. You heard me say anecdotal stories about people allegedly working for the PHA and allegedly injuring themselves and coming back to work with PhDs and demanding to be placed in new qualifications. You could really sit here and suggest that it's the Haitian, to suggest that we are part of the problem because we focus on migrants instead of focusing on the hospital. Ask your MP why he hasn't taken a pay cut yet.
And you know, it's funny because...
Hold on. Let me rant for a second.
Sure.
Ask your MP why they spend all that money to go entertain cruise ships but couldn't fix the air conditioning system in a hospital in the middle of a respiratory pandemic. They can't figure out how to place UV filters in spaces where the general public have to be. They couldn't figure out how to get PPE to frontline staff. But you think the problem is that some of us are too focused on the migrant in the country? Do you know how many of those migrants are keeping your country afloat and running? Who are working for money that you refuse to do the things that they know need to be done for regular Bahamians to survive?
Dang.
Man, listen. I mean, it would be disrespectful of me to talk about the hardship I have experienced in my own country with the expectation that people who get paid to do their job would do it. It would be disgraceful because I only get talking about getting stalked for 3 years and having the police tell me that the phone company say it ain't really serious enough for us to look into it. Right? That's a small thing compared to people who have been waiting for decades to be regularized, and every time they go there, somebody tell them, we can't find the paper. We can't find the paper, right. Miss. They not in the office, miss.
So anyway, that's another $2,000 they have to go find.
Absolutely. Listen, Luby, we're going to take a break. Because my producer was showing me it's time. We're going to take a break, and when we get back in, we're going to finish off these texts, and then we're going to repeat all of the information that you shared with us earlier about the best ways to direct and the top list of things that people would necessarily need in this relief and recovery effort. You tuned into 96.9 FM. You're on the Hot Clock with Aaron Green. We'll be right back.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rock the 242. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock of Aaron Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
In radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day, and a little tiny, tiny bit of running hot. And you know, most people would say, man, Aaron, you need to express these sentiments in a far more calm and even tone and fashion. Nah, it's 2021. It's 2021, people. We have to move beyond these petty principles propped up by a imperialist nationalism that we barely understand. Mm-hmm. I got a text here that says, I want to read this one first. You all like to take up for these foreigners, these people, biggity. Man, I remember when that character trait, like, yes, we small, but we talawa, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, we biggity because we had to be biggity.
We tough.
Because we had to be tough in the face of political circumstances. Okay, another text says, jokes, Haitians send millions of dollars to Haiti from this country annually, but they refuse to pay $10 registration at the hospital. Their contribution to our economy is very minimal. When they purchase land, build houses, then I might say they're contributing significantly to the Bahamas.
Okay. I just have a quick, some numbers that I want to throw out there. So in 2019, I actually did a report on this while I was at IOM with Luby. And in 2019, there was about $1 million or so dollars exported from country that was sent to other countries for what we call remittances.
Yeah.
Guess how much came back to the Bahamas?
How much?
$3 million. So out of the country came $1 million. Into the country came $3 million. Just let me know where in there you find any kind of a gap or where the Bahamas is lacking.
Where can we find that study?
I'll have to pull that up and share that with you.
Yeah, so I'll have that.
But can I say something real quick just on the whole remittances thing? And I want to thank Shivago Lang, your colleague at Guardian, for this. I was at a panel discussion at UB a few years ago, and you know he said something, and it stuck with me since then, and it makes absolute sense. And it's a different way or a line of thinking when we think about remittances, and we come with this, well, the Haitians are working, and they're taking the money and putting it out of the country. Well, the key in there is this. They're working for that money, right? It's not being stolen.
Right.
And the Bahamas receives equal value through their labor for that money.
Exactly.
So they earned that money.
And
but the Bahamas, here in the Bahamas, remains equal value for that money for Bahamians and others to enjoy.
Exactly.
You work on a construction site. That house that was built, that this Haitian was probably a helper or a laborer on, that house remains here in the Bahamas. You know, we're going to continuously gain from that house the taxes, the utility bills that now have to be attached, the protection for the Bahamian family probably that has to live in this house now.
Yeah.
And so we gain equal value, if not more value, for that $200 or so a week that this individual is being paid. And if he decides, because his wife and he has a few kids back home, to send $150 out of that and keeps a little portion for himself. And that portion that stays here, that individual is still a consumer.
Yeah.
And so he still has to spend that money here. So, you know, this idea of persons coming in, taking, and sending it out, you know, it's just a fallacy.
Exactly.
So I got another text here. I'm going to try. I got a ton of texts, guys, so I'm going to just try to read through them. Another text says, morning, international law say all children take on the citizenship of their mother. Children born to two Haitian people in this country are Haitian. Yeah, let me read the rest of the text. The Haitian Constitution say children born to Haitians anywhere in the world are Haitians. Seek truth, speak truth, error, and praying for Haiti. Let me just say that you don't understand how statelessness works. So two people who were born in Haiti come to the Bahamas. They have a child. The child is not eligible for Bahamian status. That child will be Haitian because the child's parents were born in Haiti. That child becomes a Haitian by virtue of the fact that their parents were born in Haiti. That child now was not born in Haiti. When that child has a child, that child is not automatically Haitian because their parent was not born in Haiti. And their parent didn't get their citizenship because they were born in Haiti. It was passed on to them. So we do have a situation here, right, where we can have, and they exist, stateless, we would be called stateless Bahamians, but you would call Texas a stateless
person. We have, according to our nationality laws here in the Bahamas, we ourselves have scenarios where Bahamians can pass on, and in certain scenarios where Bahamians cannot pass on their citizenship to their children, depending on, you know, their marital status
or where
in the world you have this child, you know, the different nationality of person and where that person is at the time with yourself. That you, I mean, we have so many, you know, scenarios within our own nationality laws.
Yeah.
Where we can or cannot pass on our nationality. And so I don't understand why would it be so difficult for persons to understand that maybe within other countries' nationality laws, there are restrictions.
Yeah, it's a bias that we have to work through. So, look, guys, I got to read through these texts. Hi, Aaron. My soul cries out for the Haitian people. Their president just got assassinated, and I don't hear a global outcry. If that was a U.S. president, there would be war. Well, I think many people think we are at war. I mean, don't respond to that, Luby. That's just me. The text finally came in. Aaron, prayers and condolences to the people of Haiti. Luby said that evacuations have started, and they are they being evacuated to other parts of Haiti or to different countries?
Other parts of Haiti.
Thank you. Yes, Ms. Green, you are absolutely correct. I'm in my 40s. I just found out a few years ago that my father's great-grandfather was a Haitian. I felt so bad when I learned of this because most of my younger years, I was one of those persons that used to discriminate against them. I mean us. Another text. What is a real, true Haitian? The government have to help Haiti on what the young people call on the low, because if they publicize their aid, civil servants will want their money owed to them. I mean,
and, you know, we are part of CARICOM, eh?
Right, right.
And there are some, you know, agreements that we sign on to just by virtue of being a part of CARICOM. And newsflash, because Haiti is a CARICOM nation itself, during the response to Hurricane Dorian that affects Haiti, also donated to the Bahamas.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Another text here. Good morning, Aaron. One of the safest conduits available to Bahamians and residents who wish to offer financial aid to Haiti is through Rotary International. Mr.
That's
Barry Rassen,
one, yes.
Mr. Charles Seeley, and Mr. Felix Stubbs. Mm-hmm. You should reach out to them. What Haiti needs is discipline, not compassion. Why would you continue to have kids when they have to eat dirt cookies? Dear texter, that word compassion. That's where we're going to focus in this moment, on that word compassion. Another text, I believe Rights Bahamas is not for Bahamians.
Can we just let that go?
Yeah, we can let that
but,
go.
Can I say something real quick, Aaron?
Yeah.
You know, I've not been a member of Rights Bahamas now for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
For 2 years.
Yeah.
I left Rights Bahamas in 2019. And so the views, opinions expressed by Rights Bahamas has nothing to do with me, and vice versa. Whatever I say, nothing to do with Rights Bahamas.
Absolutely. Another text here. Morning, Aaron. What a show to be real. Do it is on point. Believe it or not, some of our people don't like to hear the truth.
No, text. So we just don't like to hear foolishness. That's all.
I think that this is one of those issues that are far more complex than you could imagine. Another text, Luby need to go to Haiti to live. He cares so much about them.
I do.
Boy.
I do care a lot about
Dexter.
Them. I do care a lot about that text.
That's right.
Too.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
he
right.
does. Man, I'm going to have to pick up my bag and do the show from Haiti then. Look at how much I care. I is automatically
Tim,
Haitian.
Let's go.
You Haitian sympathizer.
Darn it. Okay, now last text. I did not know you were anti-Bahamian. You so...
Oh, Lord.
Something.
Lost,
I hope Guardian cancels your show.
Now,
hold on, I got to read this one out loud and I'm out of time. I did not know you were anti-Bahamian. You so some... Oh, they called me a SOB. I hope Guardian cancels your show. P.S. You have the second most boring show next to the 2 o'clock show. Passing text
wow.
to...
Wow.
Thank you for spending your 6 cents.
Thank you for your Christianity.
No, both BTC and I appreciate it. But don't worry, Texter. I'm not anti-Bahamian. I'm pro-human. To be nationalist would be to be anti-Bahamian, right? I mean, to be anti-human.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just pro-human.
That's it.
I want to love bigger than nationalities. I want to love bigger than this imperialist construct you seem to be stuck in. Another text said, think you need to do a history of the Bahamas and Haiti. Yes, Texter,
oh,
thank you.
Yeah.
The perfect way to end the show.
Yes.
There was a wonderful presentation at the 2003 College of the Bahamas Symposium.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting to pick up my copy of the booklet. And a presentation on the history of the Bahamas and Haiti. It was the most enlightening thing I've ever heard. I hope I could get a copy of that speech to present to you here on the show soon. Thank you for staying tuned into the conversation. Thank you for filling the text line with your contributions. Thank you for tolerating the fire. It is 11 a.m. Levon Millen Unleashed is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas, and remember to love somebody. Love everybody.